Recording is being recorded.
Okay. All right.
Perfect. Oh, let me double check Adrian's focus real quick.
Where's your focus, Adrian?
Watching the game, but yeah, okay.
Sorry, what was happening? What was the episode?
All right, ready to start now?
All right, here we go. All
right.
Ready? Okay, we're going black. Okay, we are rolling in about less than 10 seconds. Going in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I'm your host, Anthony King. And of course, with me tonight is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards. Yeah, that's yep. A new thing now. It's the pen clicks now. Jeez.
Hey, welcome back, everyone.
Hi, guys. This freaking idiot.
This progressively gets worse.
I know. But yes, we're getting close to this end of the year. So, of course, we're going to have our last episode. Of course, this episode, we're going to cover over usually the biggest box office hits for this year. And of course, a special topic that we have covering over the new AI laws.
Yep.
But as usual, we're going to cover over our smaller film news. So let's just hop into this because boy, some of this is actually pretty interesting.
We got some good stuff.
We got some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
First off, man, the Superman trailer finally dropped. James Gunn's new DC universe. How do you guys feel about this? Did you like the trailer? Mike, you loved it?
Awesome.
You loved it.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Loved it.
It felt reminiscent to the old Christopher Reeves.
It did.
Superman films.
And at first I was kind of nervous on it.
Yeah.
And just kind of the way everything was kind of looking behind the scenes. But as like time kind of went on, had a little bit more faith in James Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out amazing.
Yeah.
It came out looking pretty much like reminiscent, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. of like the Christopher Reeves Superman.
Because this is going to be hard to get every audience member attracted to it because we're already hitting well past that superhero fatigue. Yes. And they're really hoping this movie is going to bank up another round of superhero excitement.
I think it's kind of different when you have a huge superhero name attached to it.
Yeah.
You know, when you have like Batman, Superman.
You're saying like no matter what, your Batman movies are going to do good. Your Superman movies are going to do good. The Wonder Woman, you know, the big ones, it's hard to put them in the same category of just standard superhero films because they're always going to come around and they're always going to do good. Yeah.
Yeah. When you have like DC's big three.
Yeah.
You know, the Batman mm-hmm. did phenomenal. Everyone loved that one. I think everyone's going to love this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be reminiscent again of the old Superman way movies of how we've seen before in the past. Even when you had Superman Returns, it kind of had a little of that, but I don't know. That one kind of fell a little flat. But this brings back the whole New Hope Superman, the whole Golden Age Superman, mm-hmm. you know? So I think everyone's going to flock to this. I think everyone's going to really enjoy it, regardless of whether it's a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's Superman at the end of the day. Yeah.
No, I think for two different reasons people are going to flock to it. One, they've gone back to like the comic book accurate costumes.
Yeah.
Yes, and we were just talking about that, huh?
Well, at least for Superman.
At least for Superman. Or at least overall, it looks like more traditional comic book look to it, not the armor-plated superhero look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was popular like with the what's called the Christopher Nolan Batman. Then
you move into Zack Snyder's, DC. Yeah.
Yeah, he had the armor plate. It looks like it's more back to like the cloth or spandex or, you know, that kind of material.
Mm-hmm.
Also because the way it seems is they're not doing the Marvel route where it's, you know, constant material after material after material being released at one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the Marvel films, you have to watch the movie, the shows, the whatever else they release, you got to watch all of them just to get the next film.
We did talk about that during the breaks. Like when it comes to Marvel, like you have to watch all these different movies and shows to understand one linear storyline.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're hoping with at least DC's expanded universe is every superhero has their own open and close like story.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, James Gunn has said that whatever's on the show is canon to the movie itself.
Canon, but you don't need to know what happened there to understand the films.
Yeah. Yes. It's more like, in their same universe, but if you're curious, you can go check it out. If not, not a big deal.
Like I pointed out, it's like the best thing you can kind of relate this to is like Kevin Smith askew universe.
Yes.
All his projects, all his films are in the same universe, but you don't need to watch anything previous to understand what's happening in the present.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been very open to the fact that there's going to be a lot of faces in this movie, a lot of characters in this movie, where it's like, what's the exposition behind it? Fuck it. This guy's here. He does this. Move on.
Yeah. I told this Anthony the other day was, I trust James Gunn when it comes to like an ensemble cast.
Same.
Because the way he did it with Guardians 2, where he had, you know, all these big names in it, but no one took away from the main character, say, the self of Peter Quill.
Yeah, because that is everyone's concern, because you have so many characters in this. Is it still a Superman movie? Because no matter what, the main focus needs to be Superman. So if you're working with an ensemble cast, you can't be worried about who's getting enough screen time.
Yeah, and we have a lot of names attached to this.
Yes,
as well. But I think it kind of also shows James Gunn as well. But in like Guardians 3, the central character was around Rocket.
Yeah,
a little bit. So what I'm trying to say is that with Guardians 3, it shows that one, he can show that in a movie it can be around a central character, but also at the same time give everyone a little bit of love to still make them relevant in these movies and not be some background characters that are just kind of like...
He can still flesh out characters.
Like I said, throughout the entire Guardians series, he's done that every film where he's picked one character and that's the main central character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Main focus. While meanwhile, everyone else is in there showing their love, but no one's taken away from the main story.
Yeah.
Like I said, on the second one, you had Stallone in the movie itself, but it didn't take away from the other characters or anything like that.
Same thing with the Creature Commandos that he's been...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen that
yet. Yeah, I watched the first two episodes,
You know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
So check that one out.
But I mean, if you want to talk about some little bit of Easter eggs in this Superman trailer...
Yeah, let's keep it fast.
All right, keep it fast. All right, first off, some just kind of noticeable ones that we've seen, or at least big ones that we saw. I have Luther Corp instead of Lex Corp. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Luther Corp is named after Lex's dad, so he's kind of Lex Luthor Jr.
Which so it probably seems like it's going to be the origins of him taking over his father's company.
Yep, so probably this is like a crypto, obviously. Guy Gardner's bowl haircut.
The bowl cut.
Comic accurate bowl cut with Nathan Fillion.
I know everyone hates it. It looks terrible. I do love the fact it's god awful. Yeah. I do kind of appreciate how shitty it is.
And you know what? I'm like, fuck it. I'm for it. It's about time we kind of see a different Green Lantern besides Hal Jordan. And Guy Gardner kind of seems like the perfect fit for this type of ensemble of James Gunn cast.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've also got Hot Girl played by Isabella Merced. You know, as we've seen in Alien Romulus and Madam Web.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Terrific. I am super excited to see Mr. Terrific on here. For those who don't know, Mr. Terrific is a brilliant scientist, as one of the smartest people in the DC universe. Could even be said to be smarter than Batman.
Just hopefully he doesn't get wasted like playing Darwin in X-Men.
Oh my God. I know, dude. For real.
Yeah.
Still pissed about that. Besides that, we also have Metamorpho.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, obviously we got John Kent and we got the Kent Farm.
Yeah.
But Metamorpho is the first time we're going to see a screen appearance played by this character. Pretty much has the power of the periodic table.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm excited to see that unveil onto the big screen. Stag Industries, for a little bit of those that don't know, that's a little bit of another industry similar to LexCorp. Kind of a dick. And then, of course, we've got the Fortress of Solitude. So happy about that. Possibly Kellex.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't really know for certain. But if it is, for those who don't know, the Kellex robot is a sentient robot that was
a servant
on Krypton and survived the explosion. So if it shows this robot dying, it's kind of like the last bit of Krypton.
Yeah.
Link that Superman has.
Yeah. So it'll be pretty interesting, some of the stuff that they already showed in this trailer, and especially, you know, it's just the first trailer. You're going to have more. There's always three.
This is the teaser.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm actually pretty excited for this movie that's eventually going to be coming out, man.
Yeah. I will probably wait to see the first trailer, and then that's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to
see You're going to hold off on that.
I'm probably going to do the attempt of just not beyond this point.
Oh, this is the only one? And then, okay.
Nice.
No, I've
done
that a few times. With the Batman, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make another attempt.
Okay, no, I appreciate that.
Same. I did that with the Batman, only the first trailer, and then that was it.
All right. Moving over to our next topic, what we have here: the end of the Sony Spider-Man universe.
Honestly,
with Kraven, man.
Why? Just why?
Why not?
Why end it?
Why end it? Why?
Why'd even
why
begin?
Keep going? Why keep? When you have this many flops, why keep going? You're just being stubborn at this point.
Yeah, might as well keep going. Dude, if we got shitty films, might as well keep that shitty film going.
A shitty Sinister Six?
I mean, shit, how many movies have they put out?
So they had Madame Web, Morbius, and Kraven.
So they're down three. They need three more.
Yeah. And they had Venom, but the Venom is like the only successful project they got going.
I would say successful, but rating-wise, they rate pretty
their,
low.
Their ratings are mixed.
It was mixed ratings. It was enough to keep it going where you had enough interest. It's not where you were like high demand, but there was interest in it.
Yeah.
Third was a flop, in my opinion. I think it was just lame.
Yeah, but you got the first two people actually felt acceptable. So, of course, it made an excuse to keep making. I mean, if they're making more of these, they're at least making some type of money.
But the main thing about the Sony Spider-Man universe is that all their movies line up with these Easter egg cameos to make room for, oh, wow, they're going to be in the next movie.
And nothing pays off.
And nothing pays off.
Yeah.
To show some examples, well, for one thing, Kraven doesn't even have an end credit scene because they're like, fuck it. Why?
They knew it was the end. They knew it was the end of this, yeah.
But to show some a little bit else, this one still pisses me the fuck off. Venom, There Will Be Carnage, the infamous end credit scene where it shows Venom watching TV and then the atmosphere changes being that they're in a different universe. Uh-huh. And then we see Tom Holland, Spider-Man reveal on the television and then him being fascinated. It's like, oh, wow, so this is how they're going to do it. And then it never pays off.
Because the next movie was a Far From Home. They immediately undid that. No Way Home.
No Way Home. Yeah,
they undid that. But basically, yeah, you're going back to your world now.
Yeah. They said, stay in your own fucking
life. Yeah.
Stay the hell out of here. Morbius with Adrian Toomes, a.k.a. The Vulture, playing by Michael Keaton, also having a little meetup. And then, again, none of it paying off. And then even The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
With Andrew Garfield, the reveal of the Sinister Six equipment in that one secured vault. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It's none of that's going to pay off.
None of it paid off.
It's sad because like this is the next franchise, like the DCEU. The last film in that generation was Aquaman, Lost Kingdom. Like, these franchises die out with a whimper.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? It's not like a big blowout. It's like, oh, we have this one last shitty movie, and now we're just no longer talking about this. Same thing with Kraven now. It's the last attempt. They knew it was bad. All right, we're just going to let this universe die out with a slow whimper.
Mm-hmm. It seemed more like they played on... They piggybacked on Marvel, where it's like, no matter what we do, you know, it's going to bring money in. It's got to do something. But
for real.
After the last three films, they realized, like, oh, shit, maybe we have to put effort into these films.
Dude, man.
Yeah.
I don't get why they don't see that.
Again, like I said, whenever, like, Madame Web, I was loosely, like, kind of knew about it. Mm-hmm. But Kraven, I was asking questions, and again, none of it added up. Mm-hmm. And they try to pass it off as a superhero film, which...
He's a villain.
So, yeah, it's...
And I understand they're trying to go with the... They're probably going for the Disney... what's it called when they do the mistaken villain or the...
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like the misunderstood villain.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
Yeah.
It's like when you see the actual villain in the origins that you first see them, they're not misunderstood. They're fucking evil.
Exactly.
But as well, it seems like they're trying to weasel their way in into the MCU. Right,
yeah,
the
bit by bit. Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to like weasel their way in. Like they tried with Venom, didn't work out. They were trying with Morbius, didn't work out.
Yeah, they did, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they try with every single film. They try weaseling the way, like, oh, you know what? We're a part of the same universe.
And Marvel every time. Nope. Yes. Kept blocking out.
Kevin Feige kept saying, stay in your lane.
No. And don't forget, years back, they had the opportunity to do it, but What's-Her-Face pretty much spilled everything.
That's right.
Amy Pascal. Yeah.
I honestly believe that's the whole downfall right there.
I think that was, yeah.
I forgot about that.
I truly believe that was the downfall and that's what separated it.
Yeah.
Continue. All
right, because I'm pretty sure they were sharing information back and forth, planning out, okay, let's just make films. And like I said, the idea of having Venom meet up with Spider-Man was a whole thing. Like they probably planned it out. Like, okay, we're going to have this way in and this is how they're going to work their way together.
Yeah.
But ever since he spilled everything, they probably said, fuck it. Nope. We're not doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. I could see that because even in that on-screen interview announcement, you can see the look of Kevin Feige just like looking just absolutely abysmally pissed.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that video?
Yeah, I've seen the video where he's like, motherfucker, this bitch. Yeah.
Because like, you can tell years of work is thrown away in that second.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yep. God damn it.
It is freaking crazy. But I don't know. Do you see any Do you think they're going to calm down from this and then eventually try to pick up with a new Sony Spider-Man universe, like in a few years? Like, hey, we're going to calm this down for like 5-7 years and then we're going to pick up fresh again.
I'm sure.
You think?
Yeah. I'm sure they'll go through the catalog of characters that they own and try to make something out of it and fail again.
I think they'll hopefully pivot away from these villain misunderstood like movies and focus on Spider-Man again.
Yeah.
Because I don't give a shit about these villains.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to cover over our last bit of film news before we hit the main topic. What we have here is a little switch up. TCL's new AI short films range from bad comedy to existential horror. So the TV producing company, you know, TCL, we have a couple of TCL TVs. They are now, you know how like Roku has their own like Roku channel, you know, Apple has their own Apple channels and stuff like that. Well, TCL has their own channels with their targeted like ads having full short films completely AI generated. And these, some of these are pretty interesting. Like, have you seen those like AI clips you've been finding on like YouTube, Instagram, stuff like that? They're actually doing full 5 to 10 minute length short films. And this is actually really interesting because like now it's really moving forward. We're AI's here. It's in Hollywood. It's here to stay. And we're actually creating projects now. We're not just claiming we're going to use it for like background characters or CGI replacement. We're creating full video projects entirely through ChatGPT.
But what wasn't it a law set in place that they are unable to actually own or actually copyright the AI footage or anything itself?
I don't know about that though.
If I remember right, it still had to do
that with, they were unable to claim it because it is using
it copyrighted.
It's you're able to copyright it?
No, it's saying they're using it. It was it's the California AI Transparency Act. Make available requires providers of generative artificial intelligence AI systems to make available on AI detection tool offers AI users option to include manifest and disclose that content. It's got a bunch more.
I think it's content filler.
Okay.
Detection. Option to include a manifest disclosure that content is AI generated. Include a latent disclosure. There's even parts of it having to require that you have to have permission from the people, like of the project. So say like if you wanted to use Tom Cruise or something, then you have to have permission from Tom Cruise.
Yeah, but if you're using an AI generator, which means it just generates a random person for you. Do you have, it came back like,
do you have rights over that? So like if say if you created a fully AI generated character that's not based off anyone else, do you have rights to that character? I don't think you do. And I don't think the purpose of these short films or advertisements is to keep ownership of it. I think a lot of these right now is in the beginning stages of testing. Can we actually do this? And I think a lot of these short films that a lot of like the Roku channel, TCL channel are going to try to use these for is just content filler. So instead of saying like now we only got like 1,200 types of projects or films, now we can expand that the catalog to like 2,000. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you can expand your content without actually really providing any substance.
Okay.
Yeah. And the argument that Sora, the AI Sora, is having is they're saying it's impossible to train AI models without using copyrighted material that's been made.
You know? No, it is impossible because it has to search through previous created works. So no matter what,
Yeah. But that's why you also have another company named Moon Valley working with a studio called Asteria. And their goal is not only being able to use the copyrighted material, but pay to use the copyright material to the creators and the original content creators, and also using their own work, like whatever it is that they are making of their original pieces, Asteria, to fill in those gaps of data set that's left when whatever it is they're generating hasn't really did as well. So
basically you're going to throw open Sora AI video creation. You're going to basically type what you need to type. It's going to produce the video and whatever choppiness you need to add in between the things that don't make sense, you're going to produce yourself.
That's their whole plan.
Got it.
So that's their whole thing is that you can be able to create AI generated whatever, but do it ethically, in an ethically clean way, how they put it.
I get it. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, it's an ethical way where it's clean. It's no, it's not stealing from stealing, you know, dad or anything like that. But it's, I don't see it feasibly possible to pay that many people.
No, I don't. What they're trying to do with that and those regards, I don't think that's going to last long. But I do see a lot, like the Coca-Cola ad, the AI one. I see more companies trying to figure out things like that where they have targeted ads within their streaming services. Like, you know, now you have with ads Hulu, you know, with ads Disney, with ads Amazon. I feel like a lot of these right now are tests to see if they can input and create ads in their contents.
No, yeah. The future I see them doing this with, like I said, the Coca-Cola ad, is user-generated or personalized ads for a person.
Okay.
Where they take your algorithm already. So let's say, you know, it already picks up in your own algorithm that you like theme parks, cats, and you're trying to sell Kleenex. You know, they make something based around the entire thing just for you.
Like cats riding roller coasters with stuffy noses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking solid.
It's like Amazon Prime Video, what they will do is they'll look through your Amazon search history and then any shows you're watching, like Secret Level or whatever, during the ad breaks, they're going to have AI-generated ads just to target your shopping list.
I don't like that.
See?
I don't like that at all.
So you're going to start getting that, but what we're seeing right now is the early developments of can we?
Yeah.
That's why I think these things, these short films are 5 to 10 minutes long. I don't think that's the goal to make
full-length feature films.
What I think they want to do is they want to push the AI algorithm as far as possible to see how direct it can be.
Yeah.
And, actually, it comes up to that. This article that we read, was it 2 days ago? I talked about where the ad subscriptions for Netflix was up 60%. No, sorry, 60% of users use the ad version.
So it's people are buying the ad version.
Yeah, because I don't really want to pay more to.
Yes. Yeah. So what it means is you're able to, you know, if you have this program, make your custom ads for you, makes it easier.
I don't like that at all. I feel like that's the ultimate form of a negative capitalism.
Yes, but I mean, unfortunately, that's, you know, we're always leading towards that.
You're going to either complain about getting ads that have nothing to do with what you're looking at or talking about, or you're going to get ads that make it feel like you're constantly being listened to all the time. It's going to be either or. You're going to get the ads no matter what.
I'd rather get the ones that have nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
You know, if I got to watch a Sprint Mobile commercial that has nothing to do with me whatsoever, or Cricket Wireless, then fuck it.
Yeah.
But if I'm watching one that's specifically like, oh, hey, you like Secret Level? Well, guess what? Secret Level also uses Big Red Gum and fucking... I'm going to just start fucking with my algorithm. Butt plugs, dildos, handcuffs, cats, lots of cats.
Grandma,
grandma, grandma, grandma. Grandma. And then just see what they come up with.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're going to deal with that. You're going to sit there with the family. Let's watch a movie. Oh, God, skip.
I know. No. Really think about how shitty it's going to be where your ad algorithm is going to basically put on blast your search history.
Damn. But at the same time, though, like, I feel like you would also get enough complaints from parents to where they'll have to change that. You know, like, it would have to go back to a time where it's just, okay, this commercial means nothing to me. It's not even targeted towards me. It's just a fucking ad.
Yeah. You know?
So if we complain enough, keep in mind, yo, if we bitch enough, okay, keep in mind, all right, we can all be Mangione, bro, in our own little ways without breaking the law. No, hold on, before even saying breaking the law, supposedly, all right, allegedly. We need to put that out, all right? Allegedly.
So across the screen.
Allegedly. So, allegedly. And in really big font, like right behind me, that just goes like, allegedly.
Yeah.
I'm going to have that in post. Just like half the word, just boom, boom.
No, but it is pretty interesting how fast the ads are moving into media and entertainment.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't mind the personalized ads. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the ads I get already are strange as it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm cool with like going through my Amazon search history and like, hey, you like tools, parts for cars, and board games. We'll figure something out for you.
So you could play a board game while you work on cars.
No, but I mean, not even that, but like, they just personalize an ad, you know, for you where it shows a mechanic, you know. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be like one of those things where it's like, they'll show the tool in hand and like a little prompt will come up kind of thing. Like, yeah. do you want to buy this item? Hmm. That kind of thing.
I don't like it.
I mean, Amazon already does that with, not Amazon, the Google AI.
Yeah.
When you take a photo of something or you look at it,
that's right.
It shows like a shirt. Oh, mm-hmm. Do you want to buy this shirt?
That's right. Huh?
Sure. So that's actually going to be all pretty interesting how it's going to be moving forward, especially into the next couple of years. Cause you know, this AI is going to hit hard with a storm, and everyone that for sure, a lot of jobs are going to be affected by this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the advertisement industry. Yeah. Yes. No, it's, I feel like the advertising industry is going to get hit the hardest first.
50-50. I think 50-50 on that one. Yes, it's going to get hit, but not as hard as we think it is. Where it's.
No, I don't think it's going to be like a full total collapse.
No, because as much as AI comes out, everyone's got to remember this thing's not perfect and people will complain if something's not right.
Yeah.
People don't like when things are not, or don't look symmetrical, don't look right, something's weird. People don't like that.
People always find something off with it.
People already didn't like the Coca-Cola ad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of the things like people see something that's not pleasing to the eye. Like, I don't want to see it no more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsor, and when we get back, we're going to cover over our main topic tonight, of course, which is the 2024 worldwide box office numbers. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back to you guys.
Hello, here are the stories that couldn't make it in today's episode. Pokemon Company and Aardman, the studio behind Wallace and Gromit, have collaborated together on a special project set to be released in 2027. Judge declares Dan Schneider can move forward in his defamation lawsuit for Quiet on Set, and Christopher Nolan's next movie will be a take on Homer's The Odyssey. Those are the stories. Now back to the show.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. It's finally here. We're towards the end of the year, so of course we got to cover over the 2024 worldwide box office numbers.
Yes.
Because, man, some studios did good and some studios, holy shit, they did bad this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually got like a little bit of a in-depth on, or at least some paragraphs on certain studios for their certain movies, but I'll mention that as we kind of go along.
So do you guys want to start at, you know, who's at the top?
Yeah.
You want to start at who's the big boy number one for this year? Of course, we got to give it up for Disney.
I know. Disney hit hard.
Inside Out 2 and Deadpool and Wolverine both crossing over the $1 billion threshold.
For real.
Yes.
And they're the only ones, right?
Yeah. Yep, I mean, it's also predicted Moana 2 is going to hit over a billion. Because where are we at right now?
So Moana 2 we got with $792 million.
Okay. It's predicted, or at least favored, that Moana 2 will reach the $1 billion mark. But right now it's...
Would that be hitting it before the end of the year, or would that be going into the next year?
It's trying to predict it before the end of the year. They're hoping that this holiday weekend, Christmas...
We'll push it.
Yeah, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day... You know, people are going into the movies. Maybe they'll see Moana 2. But chances are of that happening, I feel like it won't hit across that $1 billion mark until into the new year.
Like well into January, February. I can see that.
Yeah,
because I mean, for the last 2 weeks of the year, you're spending money on gifts. And
yeah, you know, no one's going to be flocking to the theaters around
this. You're not going to bring your entire family to the theaters, unfortunately.
Absolutely not.
But then, of course, who's our next big runner-up? What we have here with Despicable Me 4, Universal, man. This movie hit hard around the world. And it was kind of funny because it wasn't something that felt like it was advertised a lot.
It wasn't. But I think the Minions are extremely popular in other countries.
Yeah.
So that's why their foreign number is twice as much as, or almost twice as much as domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it wasn't just Despicable Me 4 either. I mean, they also hit with Wicked Part 1 that came out.
That is true. And that was a huge success.
As well as Twisters.
Yeah, I keep forgetting they also did Twisters too.
Both of them did generously well.
I did not expect Twisters to go so high up in the box office charts for this year.
Neither did I.
Like number 14, I didn't expect it to go at least anywhere near the top 20.
I think it was just that disaster film, the action disaster film that we just like, we don't get often.
It's a very fun adventure action.
Do you think the 4D experience helped sell that in theaters as well?
Yeah, it did.
Probably.
It's like, it is like the type of movie to go to 4D. And then they even re-released it in 4DX.
Because it was sold out. We couldn't find it and had to re-release it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure like that experience alone really helped out.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, you got with like, I think this is like the only good Legendary Pictures film that did good this year was King Kong and Godzilla, right? Yep. Hitting at number 7.
Yes. That one's also Universal, isn't it?
No. Isn't that Legendary?
Oh, no. You're right.
That's Legendary.
Sorry. I got theirs right.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if they had any other films that are up there for Legendary Pictures.
Who owns Legendary again? Or is Legendary their own?
I don't know if Legendary is owned by anyone. I know they used to be independent.
Oh, sorry. That's Warner Brothers. Warner Bros.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, Warner Brothers, they had a decent run. They had a pretty good run having to go with Dune Part 2 hitting over $700 million, as well as Godzilla King Kong New Empire hitting over $550 million, climbing to $571 million. Where are we at right now?
And then you even got Beetlejuice hitting Beetlejuice number 10.
However, they also had two misses this year having to do with Joker. Mm-hmm. And as well as Furiosa.
Well, and it's funny too, because those two are high up in the box office chart list. But however, when you look at how much money they put into their budget, those were huge financial losses. And that is a number thing, is a big thing. We have to look at all these numbers and all these films on this list. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're hitting top charts, but a lot of these films did lose a lot of money because they were just expensive.
Yeah. With Furiosa stalling out at around $170 million and the Joker barely breaking even at $206 million. Mm-hmm. Those two movies definitely were a hit to Warner Brothers' victories in the first three movies of their Dune Part 2, Godzilla, and Beetlejuice.
Like, you even got films like If and Red One who are on the list in the top 20s, but those two were big box office losses.
Yes.
Because they were just expensive films in general.
Oh my God. Yes. They were. I think I got that one right here. Was that one Paramount? I think that was Paramount.
I know Red One was the Netflix one, right?
Yeah. But like, yes. This one was made by. Oh no. It was Apple, Amazon, MGM.
Got it.
That's right. Yeah. Still trying to find their footing in the whole streaming. And the whole streaming wars and movie war. I mean, Apple, Amazon, MGM still has, you know, Amazon, MGM still has James Bond and, you know, areas like that. But they're still trying to find their place. I mean, both of them hitting with Argyle and Red One just couldn't make a turn of profit with that one.
They really couldn't.
Red One had $151 million that it earned with over a $250 million budget. So that was a loss. And Argyle barely breaking $100 million. It was a huge hit.
But it's actually pretty surprising, too. You're actually starting to get some independents up on this list and pretty high up on the list, like with Long Legs and Civil War. Civil War being A24 and Long Legs with Neon.
A24 and Neon definitely came out swinging this year. Mm-hmm. And this was probably the most profitable.
Oh, yeah.
With A24, Civil War hitting at $10 million domestic. And Long Legs, what was Long Legs?
Long Legs was sitting at, we're seeing $74 million domestic.
To put that in perspective, Long Legs had a budget of under $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge profit.
That's a huge. Yes. I think they're one of the biggest winners for this year, besides for Disney with Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah. Just like on increased revenue.
Yes.
Just generally just looking at that.
Like percent-wise, they've definitely turned a profit. This is probably the most profitable year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's only going to get better.
I don't know. Are these... Which films on this list, though, that really did it for you? Because we've seen at least most of these films this year. So on this list, this box office list, what was like the film for this year? Like, yeah, man, that hit. That was the best. Definitely deserves to be up there.
For me personally, I'm going to say Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2.
I've probably watched that on repeat on Max. Wouldn't be the same amount as The Batman, but probably like pretty damn close.
Okay.
Like it just does it for me.
It hits.
You know, everything about it is so fucking beautifully mastered. I'm going to rant just for like 2 seconds. You know that whole, you know the rule about never jumping the line when you cut?
Yeah.
When you edit? Mm-hmm. You know the conversation that Paul has with Stilgar about like when he goes into the desert, he's like, what do I need to worry
about?
You know, trapdoor spiders, very nasty. If you watch that scene, the line is jumped at multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
And you hardly ever notice it, but it fucking works.
Yeah, that's masterful editing right
the,
there.
The editing style of this movie is so fucking good to where it's just sometimes it takes the rules and throws it out the window, and other times it takes very long pausing cuts to where it's not afraid to say, okay, and we're going to sit and watch this for a while.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We don't have to see close-up shots on every single thing, doing this, blah, 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 blah. Like, sometimes the rules are just there as guideposts, but we're going to do our own thing.
Yeah.
The fucking Dune is just amazing. All right, that's my rant. That's my TED Talk.
What about you, Adrian?
I don't know. Like, I guess, like, Inside Out 2 and Deadpool, but I would say Inside Out 2 probably would be, like, the better ones I've seen. It's, I think, written really well. It's, the characters, like, actually brings, like, I guess, conversation between families.
Yeah.
It does that, which, because the way I see films is if it actually makes people want to, you know, talk about the film other than just, you know, how cool that one scene was and that's it. Because, I mean, obviously Deadpool, when we all talked about the intro and, you know, how the action sequence looked like, some of the effects. But when it gets the, you know, conversation between characters, the, you know, the anxiety and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When a movie makes you, when it opens up conversation, when it opens up dialogue.
Yes.
And it does that with, kind of makes a person express their instance of anxiety.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, kind of like their experience of like
self-reflection. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Self-reflection.
So I like that one. I still want to watch Wicked. I haven't got a chance to watch that one yet. But what I'm told is for most people is like, it's not that bad of a movie.
Yeah. It's not bad of a movie from what I'm hearing. It's just everything. It's just the marketing around it. Everyone's just been talking shit when it comes to that. Like, I hear people talking shit like, oh, man, this interview, there. But how's the movie? Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. Like, that's how I hear people,
I mean, that's kind of a good thing, though, where it's like, oh, yeah, like, it's ruined because of these people. It's like, no, like, the movie, they did their job. The movie was good.
Yeah.
They're just really shit at interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You imagine them just being like, oh, hey, you know, just to celebrate, we got you guys, like, a pack of Snickers each, family fun sizes.
It's the crying. It's the crying compilation. No, it's
crying and holding the hands.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why are you so fucking weird? I think you kind of need one interviewer just to kind of call out a person who's being weird. Just so you can kind of get them back on track. You know, and be like, can you stop being weird? It's fucking weird.
Stop being weird, man.
And just, you're kind of ruining this for me. I got like 5 minutes and there's like 10 interviewers like outside waiting in line.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's kind of wrap this shit up.
No, makes sense with that. See, I'm stuck between three right here.
Oh, okay.
So, it's for me, it's Godzilla. It's either Long Legs or Alien Romulus. All three complete different reasons.
Ooh, okay. Give me your reason.
Godzilla versus King Kong. That is my Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't give a fuck. I need more stupidity in here because now you're just making it more entertaining.
It's monster movie.
That's monster movie.
Yeah.
That's like the pinnacle for monster movie for me. I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I need more of this.
Dude, when they had pocket sand, that was it. When they had pocket sand, I was like, yep, this is what I'm getting.
When they have King Kong taking a little baby King Kong and using it for a fucking nunchuck.
Yeah.
It sold me. It sold me immediately. I need more of that. Once a year, I need that. You see what I'm saying? I need that once a year.
I need more of, I just enjoyed that one ape who was yapping up in Kong's face and then just gets one-shotted. I'm like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I need that more.
Alien Romulus, for me, that's like, that brings back the magic of movie making. When I'm talking about, when I talk to people about why I love making movies, I'll use examples like that. You see, like, you put in the effort, the visual effects, the actual CGI effects, the acting, the plan, like, it's planned. The whole movie is planned out. That is a movie to me.
Yeah.
I remember us talking about, like, the only reason, I mean, other than we're a fan of, you know, actually, you're the major fan of Alien.
Alien, yeah, yeah.
The Alien franchise, but we were more excited for it because of the the practical effects.
Yeah. Absolutely. But man, you really want to see how it pays out. Yeah. When you're looking at all those actual fully built models, the robotic face huggers and everything, the fucking 7 foot tall dude, like,
yes,
you want to see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. They fully, fully executed this film completely well. And it's like one of my favorite films for this year.
All right.
Okay. And of course, I'll go with Long Legs because, like, that's what you show. When you talk about making money on a movie, that's the results I want to see. I don't need to see you putting $350 million in a movie and then only getting about $700 million back. No. Mm-hmm. That's nothing to me. When you put under $10 million into a movie,
yeah,
and you really put in the effort to do that and it comes back out with over $125 million, that deserves to be up on those charts. Higher than any of the other ones, I believe. I really do believe we should restructure the box office numbers on how you also incorporate your percentages on how much you made.
No, absolutely. It's unfortunately the sad reality where it's the studios forget that this is an art.
Yeah.
And I understand it's a business and you have to bring money and I get understand all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you throw away, you know, full blown effort, you know, putting thought into this, you know, project,
mm-hmm.
and kind of just like, you know what, we'll just put it, you know, slap something together and then call it a day.
Yeah. But even when I say, like, even on the business side, like,
yeah,
you got Beetlejuice, you know, the second one.
Yeah.
It's ranked number 10 and it made like 400, like, sorry. So yeah, it made $450 million.
Yes.
But then you get like Long Legs, which is in the 20s and it made $125 million. But technically Long Legs made more money.
Yes, no, so I'm saying is, so like,
it's like, it should be adjusted. These lists should be adjusted for that.
No, absolutely. But what I'm trying to get at is the idea of, like, almost as they put more, like, I hate to say it, but they put more effort into, like, Long Legs than did with other films.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's, you know, people who budget this out, trying to figure things out, and they actually, you know, essentially squeeze every penny and, like, let's make something out of nothing, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus, like, big budget films, you know, if you run out of, you know, the budget, you run out of the budget, well,
write another check,
throw it in there and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So I understand what they need to, like, readjust it, but at the same time, I feel like studios need to kind of realize their fuck ups.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, they do definitely need to realize that.
Yeah. But unfortunately, like I said, all these, like we said last week, the top 10 were all franchise films. Mm-hmm. Nothing was original. Nothing was brand new. And we're going to see that again for the next, I guarantee, next 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm. And technically speaking, I think these box office numbers are slightly less compared to last year's, where we had a few bigger numbers like Oppenheimer and Barbie.
Well, I looked it up. Actually, there it goes.
Okay.
Barbie was actually $1.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So it made, actually, Inside Out 2 made more than that.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer didn't break the $1 billion mark.
Okay.
It's about
around Despicable Me.
It's about the same. Mario Brothers 1.3.
Okay, so around Deadpool. So this seems like it's averaging out the same numbers close to how it was with last year.
Yes, the only ones, like I said, 2022, which was Avatar: Way of Water, which was $2.3 billion.
Got it. Yeah.
So it looks like 22 was like the bigger year because the top three films did go past the $1 billion mark.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we only got two movies that went past the $1 billion mark.
It does look like more and more every year we're having more consecutive years with films hitting the $1 billion mark.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that used to be like a sparse thing that happened every couple years. But now it seems like every year we're at least getting one film hitting the billions.
Yeah, since 2021.
Yeah.
Consecutively, we hit the $1 billion mark at least with one film.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we skip 2020, Avengers 2.7.
Got it, yeah.
Like, I go down the list, it's always, you know,
at least one film in the billions.
Yes. So, yeah, as well as, unfortunately, like, the economy as well, you know, inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more likely we will hit the $1 billion mark every single time.
Yeah, because higher ticket prices and everything. Yes, yeah.
But it's how many films hit the $1 billion mark because, like I said, people were really excited for Inside Out 2 and Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, people, like, pre-ordered all those tickets. Pretty much the top, I'll say, like, Inside Out 2, Deadpool, Moana, Wicked. Even Dune had a lot of pre-sales.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. I don't know, but it's really interesting how we're going to see this moving forward into the next year too, because there are some big movies planned to be released also next year, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be on this level. I think the biggest things we were anticipating was like Despicable Me and Deadpool.
Yes.
Besides for Superman with next year, I don't see any film that has that level of anticipation right now.
But then again, we never know. Like
we don't know until it's finally like announced. Yeah.
A lot of times we think like this movie's going to be number one. Turns out it's like one of the worst films in the market. Mm. I mean, I'm trying to think of one like that happened. Like for instance, like Joker. We thought that was going to be another
big hit.
Another big hit. No, it just went straight to the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go down the list itself. Like other movies, I thought like, oh, this can be fucking Kraven. I mean,
it's Kraven time.
I mean, I knew it was not going to make a lot of money, but I didn't think it was going to be this low.
Yeah. I kind of figured that though, just knowing with the history of Sony and how everyone is kind of fed up with it. So
yeah,
but it kind of shows. Like for instance, The Crow as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they honestly thought that this was going to be, you know, not a big money maker, but it's going to be bringing a good amount of audience in.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it didn't. So it's one of those things that we just don't know. Like who would have thought that Despicable Me 4 would be number 3?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
That is very true.
Yeah,
you know, we got Frel throwing down that sick ass diss track.
I know, that sick ass diss track to Drake. I mean, and disguising it as a kid song. I mean, fuck.
Genius, man.
Genius.
Well, you guys got anything else to say before we fully close out? Anything you expect with like next year, or how do you feel in total just for this year?
Shit. I'm excited for Superman.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited for Superman. I think that's, like I said, the only thing I'm really looking forward for next year.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm seeing, like, on the list right here, quickly, I'm not saying I'm super excited for really much anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious more than anything. Like, so I'm more curious about, like, Fantastic Four. I'm just curious to see what that looks like.
Oh, yeah. Right. I forgot about that one. Yeah, yeah.
Lilo and Stitch, just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Megan 2.0, not really.
Megan 2.0.
Yeah. You know, the second two, Megan, the horror film.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking at a list. I'm like, I'm just more curious than actually, like, oh, I'm excited for one film.
It's just curiosity, nothing with full excitement. You're not having that Batman levels of anticipation.
Actually, there's one. There you go. I found one that I'm actually more excited but curious still.
Mm.
July 4th is an untitled Matt Stone, Trey Parker, Kendrick Lamar film.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's actually an interesting combination. Wait, right there.
I think I vaguely...
So the creators of South Park and Kendrick Lamar?
Yes.
I vaguely kind of remember something about that. I don't remember what it was. I'm sure it'll come to me next episode.
Yeah. Saw 11 coming out.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh, Mortal Kombat 2. There we go.
At this point, bro's brain is just entirely infected with cancer. Like...
He's been dead since the third one.
Yeah. I think they're just going like back and just going back.
They're basically like, since he died in the third one, everything that happens was just all of his grandmaster plan.
Yeah. Apparently he had like 20 other games going on at the exact same time. So yeah, you know, you just pick and choose one.
So bro was just had ample amount of time.
Oh yeah.
Right. Mortal Kombat 2 coming out.
Kind of excited for that.
Oh yeah, that's one. Yeah.
Now You See Me 3. I didn't even know they made that one.
Yeah. Oh, don't really care about that one.
Actually, this one. I'll say this one I'm excited for. Predator Badlands.
Oh yeah. Another Predator. That's true.
That's the one I'll be excited for.
Because Prey was pretty badass.
Yes. Dude, for real.
Yeah.
So November 7th.
All right.
Wait toward near the end of the year.
Again. Yeah, right. Of course. All right, well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How you feel about the 2024 box office numbers? Do you think they're great? Do you disagree with them? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on the Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those to like or watch our videos. For our audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Samsung Podcast. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before I fully close out, Mike Hessel's last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony has mentioned, all the different ways you can be able to listen to this and watch us, including youtube.com/theredbandpodcast. So that way you can be able to watch some of these episodes that we put out on the days that they're recorded. Audios usually come out every Wednesday, videos every Friday. And of course, all the ways you could be able to listen to us, as Anthony's mentioned, iHeartRadio, Samsung Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Look for the screaming microphone and consider sharing with a friend if you like what you hear. And our Patreon account is still up, so if you haven't head on over there, we'd greatly appreciate it and subscribe to that, so that way we can continue to make these episodes, because more subscribers equals more content. Really appreciate it if you could share with people so that way we can create more content with the help of more subscribers. And that's probably the smoothest I've ever gotten through any of that.
That's actually pretty good.
That took me like, I don't even know. But it's definitely like under 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Real smooth
right there.
I'll take it.
All right, guys. You heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.